When Midianite came to affect our children began to be taken away, we could not meet that criteria of a family of five. That's what happened. And then something else happened. Instead of honoring the treaties of peace and friendship, Canada made the Indian Act. By 1927, there was over 200 crimes that could only be committed by Indians. We could not hire lawyers. This is basic information. Bear with me. It has a reason. I have a reason for going over it. We could not hire lawyers to defend for these very things that were promised in the treaty. From 1885 to 1950s, the Northwest Rebellion happened in 1885. The government became fearful of the Indian problem. They created a caste system. We instantly became prisoners in the very reserves that were supposed to provide livelihood and economic opportunity for indigenous people. My people could not leave the reserve. My mother still has that memory that she couldn't leave. And if you look at the history books, they say the pass and permit system ended in the early 1930s, but on our reserve, it didn't end till 1950s. I am from a reserve called Big River Reserve Lands, number 118. I was born into that reserve, not realizing that those lands have become prisons for my people. And I still go back there. I'm not saying I don't love those lands. I love those lands, and that's one of the reasons why I defend for them. But something happened that still imprisons my people, and it's that system of the Indian Act. Since the Indian Act was amended to repeal the prohibition on hiring a lawyer in 1958, there has been hundreds, if not thousands, of court cases where Indigenous people have sued and have been sued for the lawful exercise of their land rights. There have been scene to scene protests. I want all of you to realize that island war is not a new thing. It is not a new thing. It's been happening a very long time. I've had people come to me and say, well, why didn't you guys do something before? We have. We have done all that we could to defend for our lands and our waters. For the last two decades, Canada has been the object of hundreds of roadblocks, sit-ins, train blockades, occupations, and even armed confrontations on traditional Indigenous lands, and we see this with the Oka crisis in 1990. The Mohawk, the community of Kahnawake, blocked highways, roads, and bridges because the colonizer wanted to develop a golf course. But that golf course never did get built. In Linwood, British Columbia, people were blockading development on their smallpox burial grounds. The road was going through the reserve, and they blockaded that, and they still got arrested for doing that. I can't pronounce some of these words, and I don't want to dishonor the nation by not saying the names correctly, so I'll let you read that. This particular incident happened because the Indigenous people wanted to keep the cows out of their Sundance ground, so they built a fence that 400 RCMP, 6 APCs, and 77 rounds of ammunition was fired on the camp because they built a fence to keep out the cows. This is Gustafsson Lake in 1995. The image at the corner there is of a truck that was later blown up by a landmine. Ipawash, Stony Point, Chippewa, 1995. The government panicked and Dudley George was fatally shot. And this is in British Columbia, where the hereditary chiefs stood together to protect their most sacred island from logging. In 1995, they blocked the road. In 1997, they did it again because they disobeyed a court injunction. Grassy Narrows, where it's still in communication with this community. They were blockading roads. They even took it to the court to stop the logging. Even as they were taking it to court, the logging continued, even though those lands were unsurrendered and unceded, the logging continued. There's images of their lands and their protests. This is the Lubicon Cree. We're also in communication with them, Chief Bernard Miniak. And he talks about his land, how beautiful and pristine in his memory this land is. This is what it looks like now. Over $14 billion worth of oil has been extracted from the Lubicon territory. They get nothing from that. Nothing. In spite of their protests and legal action, an additional 140 when I last spoke with some of the band members, an additional 140 companies are going in there. As of what, 3 weeks ago, we heard this information. The tar sands are expanding, even though they're doing everything they can to stop it. Burnt Church, Mi'kmaq. In a Supreme Court decision, it was affirmed that they have commercial fishing rights through the treaty, but each time they go out to the waters, they're charged and convicted. Even though it is a Supreme Court decision. Indigenous women disproportionately have high rates of murder and missing, and there's walks all over to try and highlight this. There was a UN research that was done that showed that there was a disproportionate amount of Indigenous women that were murdered and missing. The Athabasca and the Miksuk Cree, this is their land, the picture of their land. And this is Treaty 8. This is their lands now. The tar sands development has taken place there. The Alberta tar sands are the single largest producer of carbon emissions in the world. Not just here, but in the world. There's an image of a fish found. My people do not hunt in those lands anymore. There's animals coming out of there that are full of cancer. You can't eat them. And it's getting worse. In 1997, there was a Supreme Court decision called Delgamuukw. It affirmed Aboriginal title in British Columbia. Affirmed it. Yet the government still proceeds as if this court decision was never made. Again, in 2003, the people stood again to bar access to industrial salmon feedlots in their territory. Again, they were criminalized. In 2004, they built winter lodges to stop the sun peaks in British Columbia. The lodges were bulldozed and expansion went on in spite of protests, blockades, and legal action. This is treaty land promised to them. And yet, the government went and bulldozed through those lands as if that promise didn't exist. This is a sign from that bulldozing through that land. No Indians allowed. Now it's in 2004. Caledonia, I just came from there. I went and spoke on those lands. This is a land promised to the Six Nations. To this day, that land has not been given back, even though it's very clearly promised in treaty. They tried to get that land back. They burnt a bridge down. They were never compensated for their land, but the businesses got compensated because the bridge got burnt down. This is the KI leaders. Because they refused to consult with Platinex, a mining company, they were imprisoned for 2 months and then released. They had to pay that company to stay out of their lands. They had to pay that company to stay out of their lands. When their constitution was repatriated, 5,000 people went to Ottawa and protested that. That was November 19, 1981. 5,000. This is an image from the sky. The Rocky Mountains. I see that when I'm traveling through there. You could see all the logging. These are all the toxic sites. I'll leave this PowerPoint with the organizers if you want to take a look at this. Again, blockade. This is what we see a lot while we're protesting and blockading. Bill C-45. This bill removed the protection of 99.9 of all the lands, of all the waters and waterways in Canada. That's what triggered Iowa War. That's us. When Idle Moore first started, they were saying, 4 Aboriginal women. And Sheila was like, well, okay. But her parents immigrated from Europe. So she's not Aboriginal at all. She's blonde, blue-eyed, beautiful white woman. And the other ladies are... Nina is Dakota, and Jessica is, I think she's Cree. We didn't know each other before. We never knew each other before Animal War started. It was just a conversation on Facebook that got us together. I was talking to Jessica and Nina, and I told them, I know this really, really awesome white woman that knows how to get people together. So I pulled Sheila into the conversation because a week prior she had tagged me on Facebook about something and that's how we got talking. But before that we never even met. And it was because of Bill C-45 that we started having a conversation. And since that time it's grown to include so many people that I can't even begin to name right now. So that's all. I don't know more. And all these pictures in Montreal, Edmonton, Toronto, Whistler, James Bay to Ottawa, Chief Spence with Attawapiskat, Cape Breton, Windsor, Vancouver and Victoria, Beardies, Okimasis, CN Rail, at Port-au-Prince, Ottawa, Winnipeg, Lethbridge, Kitchener, Sarnia. Young people stood up. That's what made the difference. They actually let go of their games and came out. They left Facebook. But they brought their Twitter, though. Because I don't know more was trending worldwide during this time. In Northwest Coast. All over the place. And then it went international. Even from Kenya. I was just telling the young people at the table here, one of the things that really moved me was when the Amazon contacted us, I think it was like a month ago, and they were defending for their lands, and they sent a message to us, and they said, they told us that the paramilitary stood there with their guns pointed at them, and they're standing there with their spears and their knives, and they're standing there trying to defend for their lands and their waters, and they're chanting, "I don't know more."